Gabby, somebody is messaging me. Yeah. I have two messages from people. One of them is asking if you can provide details on when Nelson visited Barbados, which is a rhetorical question. So I'll let you answer that one.
I am not going to answer it, no, but I can tell you, I can assure you that Nelson visited Barbados and referred to Barbados as the worst place he had ever visited. Mm-hmm. Can assure you that.
Secondly, I actually thought he had not visited Barbados, but apparently he did. I had heard two stories. I heard he had never visited Barbados, and then I heard he visited Barbados and said he really did not like it, and he didn't stay for very long. He preferred Antigua.
He called it the worst place he had ever visited. So, right? Listen, right? People missing everything here. Understand, we are now coming to colonialism yesterday morning, you know. We are now into what I call pre-independence. Note what I said, Peter. We are into pre-independence. Barbados is not an independent country. How can Barbados be an independent country and the Queen is head of state? Mm. She's still head of state. That doesn't make us independent. Until we are a republic, we are not independent. Yeah. We are partially independent.
All right, Gabby, we have another message here which has come up on the chat. Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm trying to move through because we are
taking.
Right. Peter, I haven't heard the entire program, but I'm thrilled with all the calls for getting rid of statues, especially Nelson, due to his contribution to our negative history. Frankly, we cannot change the past, but we can teach and learn from it. All the plantations had slave owners or slaves. Are we going to burn them down also? Are we going to kill or abhor of our parents, some of whom begot from relationships between the masters and the slaves? Are we going to look in the mirror and hate ourselves for any part of our history that was sourced through white intervention? Absolutely ridiculous. Deal with what needs to be dealt with. Pride and industry, I'm sorry, this is spelled wrong. Building ourselves up rather than sweeping ourselves in the molasses of hate and history. Let's improve ourselves. People like to jump on the bandwagon for the sake of so doing. I love history and to see our evolution. I'm concerned about what Gabby is saying. Your response.
Listen, I'm glad they're concerned. I'll tell you something. Let me explain to them. The reason why we will never burn the plantations because they already belong to us. Our labor built them and our labor sustained them. So they belong to us. We haven't just been given them yet, but those plantations belong. Why would we burn down our own property? Yeah. It's ours. Our labor put it there.
Yeah. The other question that comes up, and you just mentioned Amen Ali, because a few mm-hmm. WhatsAppers have also raised questions about the church. I'm curious mm-hmm. about your views on our relationship with church, especially the Anglican Church. Christopher Codrington, mm-hmm. of course, was an Anglican. He donated his wealth to be used for the teaching of religion. Of course, he didn't mm-hmm. specify whether it should be white or black people. So his mm-hmm. plantation ends up as a theological college. But I've always been uncomfortable with the relationship that we have with the Anglican Church, especially when one bears in mind the role that the Anglican Church played in maintaining slavery. What are your views on that?
My views on that are very clear. The church has to apologize to us, the Anglican Church in particular, because they have gained from slavery in a very, in a very tangent manner. They haven't done so. Right, and that goes also for the Catholic Church, because they started the whole thing, right? The whole slave trade thing was started through Catholicism. So both the Anglicanism and Catholicism, which are two brothers and sisters, they need to apologize. And not only that, they need to teach their own history. For example, how did the Anglican Church begin? Well, one man wanted to have a divorce, as you know, Peter, because mm-hmm. you have done the studies yourself. Yeah. And he went to the Pope. The Pope said, I cannot do that. If you do that, you will mash up my religion. But let me tell you what I could do. You carry along your thing. Name it the Church of England or name it the Anglican Church or both. But you must do one thing for me. Put in your Bible or hymn book or wherever you can think that you're using these words. It's called the Apostle Creed. And when you put that in there, you must mention these words and say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Once mm-hmm. you do that, it means that I am still your boss. But you could continue mm-hmm. all the other rituals and all the other things that you are doing. This is natural facts. This is not a Gabby mm-hmm. story, right? So we got to understand who we are. And if we understand that, we could never support a position where a woman could say, so stupid. That's so nonsensical. That has no bearing on anything to do with substance or anything to do with, you know, reality or mm-hmm. anything to do with the sensibility. It just plain is an idiotic statement.
The thing is, though, Gabby,
you cannot equate Bassa with Nelson.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree with you entirely. One of the things I have learned on this program, Gabby, is that one has to not only be tolerant of views that you may otherwise find as being illogical, but one has to also realize where it's coming from. And I think that in this regard, a lot of Barbadians, especially middle-class Barbadians, feel that things are going well for them, and, you know, why rock the boat? Precisely. And I think that her comments are coming from a sense where she feels if you can build a statue to Bassa, and you can have Emancipation Statue, you can have Nelson, then why do you have to rock the boat? Because things seem to be going well the way it stands. I do not agree with her, but I think that people like yourself and myself have to get to a place where we can communicate with someone like that and try to help that person understand why it is that Nelson is offensive to our existence. And I mean, this is the thing. I live with it all along, but I still find it offensive when we do so.
Absolutely correct, right? I mean, absolutely. Now, I want to show you something, right? I wrote something here. There is a man who is a hero in England. His name is Winston Churchill. I want to read for you what I wrote less than an hour ago on Churchill. The real Winston Churchill. He's called a hero. Swallow the bitter pill. The cigar-smoking, double-chin fat boy, Winston Churchill. An ardent racist to the core. Yes, let's settle the score. He cannot be half as good as any British. He killed 4 million Indians without apology. Supported the apartheid system in South Africa's country. Said the people of Afghanistan ought to know their place. And admit that the British people were a superior race. He supported the Aussies and Americans in their genocidal trust to turn the natives of those lands into sand, rock, and dust. He called the Arabs in Palestine dogs time and again. This Briton born to an American woman can be aptly described as insane. We must also see this British bulldog today and tomorrow as a piece of ham for sure, but never, ever, ever a hero.
Gabby, I want to stick a pin right there. We have to take a commercial, and I think that this gives us everyone the opportunity to reflect on those very profound words that you have just written. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You still there, Gabbergs?
Yes, I am here, Pete.
Well, that was an excellent.
Here for a few moments.
Yeah, that was an excellent piece that you put together. And one of the things I've always been amazed by is the speed with which you can compose these verses and the meaning that has given to it. I've struggled with.
Took me 18 minutes.
Yeah. That's the mark of brilliance. No, I've struggled with the views and my views on Churchill as well. I know of Churchill's past. I know of Churchill's particular views regarding colonies and his belief that the British were a superior being. I have been fascinated by his oratory, and I read a lot and I watched a lot of his speeches, the way he delivered them, and the
fantastic
way he led the United Kingdom through the Second World War. At the same time, however, I do struggle with his relationship with the colonies. I have settled on a position that says that he certainly can never be a hero for me, but I can understand why he is a hero for the British, because He seemed to defend the empire at that time, which was good for them.
It's continuity.
Mm? Sorry?
Francis Drake, Walter Raleigh, right? These are all British heroes. All dogs, in my opinion. But they are British heroes, right? We have a fight going on right now to have Cecil Rhodes statue
removed.
From Oxford. It has to move. You know how what happened? We have quite a good number of people on the council that deals with that who are already calling for its removal. So it's just, it's not a matter of just rallying. We have actually have council members who have agreed that it cannot stay there in its prominent position at Oxford College, because there should never have been something called a Rhodes Scholarship. Never. Cecil Rhodes was a horrible person. And therefore, how can you... Look, this is how I look at life. See? I told my friend Bumba one day, Bumba said, man, is not my life, everything, man, is dark. Dead people dead already, man. So he has this conservative look at things. I don't. I have what they call a radical look. But my radicalism does not mean bad or wrong, right? So I said, here we have a place down the road called One Carlisle Bay, right? And most Barbadians only say Carlisle Bay. And they don't know who this, who's Carlisle. There was the Earl of Carlisle. He was another Peter. He would sell you land, then sell me land. And then you go on to him, man, how are you going to sell Gabby the same land as me? Wait, you gain trouble from Barbados? Or you wait. And in less than 3 weeks, you are on a boat to England, never to see Barbados again. And we got a bad name after he. And we had a man named George Ferguson, who was a great captain, who was a great Barbadian. And we still got that place in Carlisle Bay downtown. It wasn't changing. I agree with Mark Williams 100%. We have to carry that position. If we do not take a position like that, everybody going to laugh. I become the laughing stock of the world, because we were not just a flicking place where you have slavery. We were the world's headquarters, the world's first slave society.
Gabby, a couple of...
Believe it or not, Barbados is the richest country in the world. All you have to do is to read a book. What's the title of the book? I can't remember the title of the book, no. But it clearly defines Barbados. It clearly defines, but then we used to got 300 ships in Spikestown, right? And how did it become like that? Because it was the headquarters outside of London for England's operations, period.
Right. Gabby, we have a...
colonizing the Virginians and so on or not.
Yeah. Gabby, we have a comment here from a caller, Michael, who I believe he is part of the Anglican Synod. He sent me a document that has essentially suggested that the Anglican Church already has apologized for its role in slavery. And it reads, the Church's General Synod in London began deliberations yesterday by commemorating its role behind the abolition of slavery in 1807, pledging members to continue campaigning against modern slavery. But the debate was transformed into a request of the Archbishop of Canterbury, with an apology being issued for the church's complicity in sustaining and profiting hugely from the trade. And it continues, it says, Rowan Williams, the Archbishop, told the Synod that the church ought to acknowledge its corporate and ancestral guilt. The body of Christ is not just a body that exists at any one time, it exists across history. And we therefore share the shame and the sinfulness of our predecessors. And part of what we can do with them and for them in the body of Christ is prayerful acknowledgement of the failure that is not part of us, just not, sorry, that is part of us, not just some distant them. And then he continues. So for all intents and purposes, what is being suggested here is that the church has already apologized for its role in slavery. I have another comment from someone. Peter Gabbert is correct. The Anglican religion and the Catholic religion are both one and the same and are false and pagan. They are very misleading and demonic. And I think you need to mention this to Gabby on the program. What do you think, sir?
Well, I believe if Mike is the guy who is the bishop at the moment, Imbert Bayes, I understand his position. I remember when the Archbishop of Canterbury had made his statement. But you see, what's the sense of having a pipe or a tap that has no water? You give me a tap and say, good, Gabby, here's the tap. But I can't bathe from that tap. The Anglican Church made millions of dollars through slavery.
Did he acknowledge
that? They have not passed any of that money back through reparations. All they did is use some verbals. We are sorry for our role in slavery. We are sorry.
In fairness, I'm not defender of the church because, you know, I don't have a very good relationship with that institution. But
fair enough.
The Anglican Church has allowed its church buildings to be used for the purposes of education for years and years. And I think it came to a point where former Prime Minister
I went to school at St.
Precisely.
Giles, so I would know.
My father went to St. Giles, and that was a church building. Arthur said he came to a point where he felt that it was only fair that the church be given something in terms of monetary contribution for the use of its buildings. So the point I'm making is that if I don't say to you, here's $1 million in reparations, but for centuries I have said, continue to use the buildings free of cost for the education of young people. Is that not to some extent a reparations? The Lomé, and this is my pet issue, the Lomé project, which went on for decades, that was millions and millions of pounds in terms of grants to the Caribbean, which we use for construction of schools, we use at the university, we built the Hall of Residence. Ultimately, that is reparations in my eyes. It's just that it is not called that, but ultimately it is saying, because I have contributed towards your underdevelopment, let me now give you something gratis in a way of saying, let me ensure that I help to put wrong things right. Your reaction, sir?
Great. Well said. I would say this. I am going to agree here with Eddie Grant. We can no longer just be looking at even reparations. We got to have partnerships. We have to partner with them. We're not just partnering in terms of being members of the church. Partnership in their wealth. Let the Archbishop of Canterbury and all them declare what is the wealth they're holding and how much of it was gained through slavery. And when that is done, let's see, as a partner, what percentage of your wealth that you are going to give me, who was your partner for more than 300 years. That's what I'm talking about. As a partner. And this goes throughout the whole thing, whether it be from, because remember, you know that when the slavery was abolished, how they compensated the planters and not the workers, not the slaves or their descendants, right? And it hasn't happened yet. Let's be partners, and you give me some of that wealth as a partner. What kind of partnership is this that I don't gain from the partnership, monetarily speaking? We are partners. Let us have some of that wealth. Declare it. Declare how many plantation owners in the past living in Barbados and having plantation, own plantation in Barbados that have millions, if not billions, of pounds in English coffers today. Some of them are still members of the British House of Lords and so on. Henry Beckles can tell you that. He went and spoke with them at the House of Lords and the House of Parliament.
I learned something else today which I thought was interesting. I've never questioned the stained glass windows on the House of Parliament, but I sought clarity, and someone has just sent me a message, and it reads, the House of Assembly was elaborately done up with the Speaker's chair and mace, government and opposition benches, and a stained glass window representing the English monarchs from James I to Victoria. Interestingly enough, the stained glass window carries the image of Oliver Cromwell and the great prosecutor, despite staunch royalist sympathies of the Barbados of the Barbadians during the English Civil War. The question that I would ask to you then, in terms of this drive towards establishing a republic, and to removing symbols, do you believe that there's a basis on which we should now change the stained glass windows which are on the Parliament buildings, which I am now advised are representing monarchs from James I of Victoria and carry an image of Oliver Cromwell?
See, I might be too radical, because I would say yes, and I'll tell you something else, right? I am totally against all judges wearing wigs.
They don't wear them anymore?
All lawyers wearing wigs.
No, Gabby, they don't wear them anymore? Gabby extinct. Yeah. David Simmons put a stop to that. Sir David.
Our Speaker of the House, he's still wearing a wig.
The current Speaker doesn't. I don't believe you can get a wig to fit on locks. I speak subject to correction, but if I remember correctly, he doesn't wear a wig.
So let's say that my man died, or he decided to relinquish the post or something. He felt like coming after him, but that might not be wearing locks. He's going to be wearing a wig.
I certainly hope not. I mean, those things are easy for me because there's no basis for that in this conversation. And even the designation of Queen's Counsel, I think that that is an anachronism which needs to move and give way to either some designation like senior counsel or nothing at all, quite frankly, because there's no need for it. So these are things we have to think about.
Why? When I was given my national award, I opted for most honorable, not for sir. You understand?
And I'm happy about that because it sounds...
Sir is totally and completely out of our sight.
It flows...
As an honor.
It flows from the tongue more nicely to say the most honorable Gabberks than to say Sir Gabberks. Sir Gabberks has a way of... It just doesn't flow. So I am happy that you opted to go with the
because
most honorable.
You're trying to be too biased, my friend. You know, you got to stop that foolishness.
Yeah. So, but Gabby, I want to thank you for spending some time with me today. I think that you certainly did a lot to raise the standard of the program and to field questions from people who were willing to put, you know, issues to you and to hear your view.
And I appreciate all the questions, all of them.
Yeah, you continue to do a good job in terms of promoting culture, promoting history. And, you know, certainly even where we disagree, we still have a whole lot of respect for what you have done in terms of your whole life contributing to the development of this country.
Those people whom we know might have been coming from an angle that we would disagree with, we have to appreciate and love them the same way. And that's me. I would just say what I have to say. But whoever it is, I wouldn't have my see, he's talking before he's really, and I'm not like that. I will embrace that person. Thank God this is on COVID now, so I might not do so much embracing these days. But I meant to say that I would love them the same way. There wouldn't be no animosity or something like that. Because as people would say, this is a democratic society, and we need to have all voices heard.
Right. Two quick things, Gabby. The Speaker definitely does not wear a wig any longer. Michael Carrington was the last Speaker. Sorry, Ishmael Roy was the last Speaker to wear a wig. Neither Michael Carrington nor the current Speaker have worn wigs, and the judges currently do not wear wigs. They wear robes, but no wigs. So the wigs are part of the past. And I certainly
that was an official thing, or just that true time it is just erased.
I believe that Michael Carrington exercised the option not to, and the tradition has continued. But I know with the judges, Sir David made a decision that the attire would change. So the new robe with the blue insignia, which was in the blue and yellow, that was part of his initiative to modernize the judiciary.
So
and at that point in time,
that
he shed the wigs.
The Barbados is a beacon in that area, and get some of the other Caribbean islands who still vigorize themselves, for lack of, you know, I gotta make new words up, you know, who vigorize themselves in these positions of governance, that they should, you know, desist from wearing these wigs. Because we still have them in the Caribbean and several, including Cayman Islands.
It's true. Okay, Sir Gabberks, sorry. the most honorable Anthony Carter, I want to thank you again for participating in the program. That was a Freudian slip, that deliberately, so that we would understand how silly it was sung. So thanks again, and all the best to you, sir.
Same to you, Peter. Have a wonderful day, man.
Thank you. Okay, this has been Down to Brass. This is Down to Brass Talks. We still have about 15 minutes remaining, and I want to welcome your calls and your WhatsApp, your email, and so on. A couple of other things that came in while we were speaking to the mighty Gabby, who for us will always be the mighty Gabby. Someone is suggesting to me that the Apostles' Creed, And I've heard this before from, I think many of you might not know, that one of my closest friends is actually an Anglican priest. And he has made this point to me about the Apostles' Creed. I'm just trying to find the email. Yeah, good afternoon, Peter. With regard to church and slavery, it was not until emancipation that produced the idea of educating Christian blacks. They supported it then because their thinking is that Christian education fostered a sense of obedience and respect for the status quo as divinely ordained. Unfortunately, they have largely achieved their objective. This is why you will have black people not understanding where the symbolism of Lord Nelson needs to be broken. And that certainly was well said. The point about the Apostles' Creed, though, and the Holy Catholic Church is that the Catholic in the Apostle Creed refers to an all-embracing Christian church. It does not refer to the Roman Catholic denomination or its teachings. I've heard this before, as I said, from my good friend who is a priest, and I have often questioned whether it may not very well be one and the same thing. Because if we get to a stage where we understand Catholicism meaning universal, in a sense, you achieve the objective, because anytime you identify with the Catholic Church, ultimately you are identifying with the universal church. So it is better than saying the Roman Catholic Church is the church to which you look. What could be better than having a Catholic understanding, which is a universal understanding of that concept that leads you in the same direction? So I get you, and I hear the point that you're making. I also wonder whether it is not appropriate, what Gabby was saying, it is not also correct in that the reference to the creed, because I have never really understood the reason why in Anglican and Methodist churches we have this Apostles' Creed that we recite. And I say we very liberally here. What is the benefit of this creed other than to ensure adherence to the Holy Catholic Church, not being the Roman Catholic Church, but the Holy Catholic Church? It's as though you want to tie the whole thing together. But that's a conversation certainly for the religious persons and not one for myself. But I was so happy with the conversation. I'm not sure who Larry Mears is interviewing today on Fireworks. I suspect it won't be Gabby, which is unfortunate, but we were glad to have him on our program today. Donna Brastacks, good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. We still have about 12 minutes remaining, which means we have the opportunity to have further interventions. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Rick.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, I really want to divert my questions, though, but I really want to congratulate you on the way that you seem to get under the members of the Democratic Labor Party. I recognize when there was the League 11, you promote that policy very, very good, and it caused a lot of strife within the DFP. Now that we are trying to rebuild the branch in a very proper way, you is trying to create a lot of strife within the party again. And if I may recall or say that only yesterday the general branch of the Central North met, and by this morning you can be promoting what is happening within the Central North branch. It is true to say that the Democratic Labor Party have a national council, a national executive council, and they have a general council. And there's rules and guidelines that the branch member and the committee, which is a very professional, knowledgeable committee, and there's no way that they would think to go outside the border. And we wanted to graduate her thing and get our business done. And I am sure that you know within the Baptist Labour Party, they have problems. They have problems with the present Prime Minister, which you better.
The shoulder?
Yeah, before she was Prime Minister, when you said the.
She cried?
When, of course, she cried on Crystal shoulder. And you know
I
that.
I didn't know. I didn't realize there was any crying on any shoulders. I didn't realize that they were that close that they would be crying on one another's shoulder.
Well,
but Chris's shoulders were wrung in those days, though, so it would have been difficult to cry on his shoulder. It would slip off.
I don't watch his physical appearance, so you don't know if it wrong square or what.
Yeah,
hey,
that's before he lost weight. So.
Anyhow, what I'm saying, it went on Edmund Henson and George Bean had problems. Went before the law court.
Mm-hmm.
Novice was being mentioned. But everything that the Democratic Party, I don't know what you have against them. I don't know what you have against the past prime minister. But everything we try to exclude something is being just encouraged. It's just being disencouraged by you as a political centrist. I know there's problem at St. Joseph, there's problem at St. Andrew, St. Thomas. But you don't refer to them. Mm. But minus problems.
Right.
You continue to build on, but you cannot get under our skin again. You promoted
it. It sounds as though I've succeeded. Because
sir,
the fact that you have been here for 6 minutes berating me suggests that I have gotten under your skin successfully, and I will continue so to do. If I wasn't getting under your skin, you would even raise your temperature to call the program. But you got under your skin. The irony is that the program done move. I was talking to Gabby, and we done move in the area of colonialism. We finished with the Dems, but you won't go back to the Dems. So let's take us back.
Of course. Let's go back. Of course, because fairness should be exerted. Mm-hmm. And I cannot sit back and let you discredit the Democratic Party that have done so much for the people of Barbados. And whenever you look at it, the same ideas that is being fallen out is fallen by the Barbados Party. And they even bring the Democratic Party priorities to give them ideas. That bond issue was theirs. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
You remember?
I remember. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, sir. We gotta run. Thanks a lot for calling and for weighing in on this issue. I've just received information that following on the CARICOM declaration, we've now had a statement that has been issued by the Organization of American States, the Secretary General, and he said several things, but it ends by saying elections are held to determine the will of the people, and once the people's wishes are clearly stated, they must be upheld. Not only in instances where they favor the incumbent, in this case, results published in the report of the Chief Elections Officer himself make it clear that the opposition PPP Civic has won favor of the majority of Guyana's eligible voters. Their will must be respected. The OAS therefore calls on the current administration of Guyana to begin the process of transition, which will allow the legitimately elected government to take its place. So we have the position of the Organization of American States. We have the position of CARICOM. We have the position of the incoming chairman of CARICOM, Ralph Gonzalez. We have the position of the outgoing chairman of CARICOM, Prime Minister Mia Motley, who I assume will speak shortly on the matter. It is becoming clear that those who are of the opinion that the elections were not credible and that the current APNU-AFC government should remain in place until such time as another election is called are in the minority. And this is sped with specific reference to the gentleman who called the program earlier and attempted to mount a conversation of discredit. This conversation of discredit is a relatively new one. This is something that seems to have been an epiphany that occurred to the APNU-AFC within the last 3 to 4 weeks as a way of ensuring that the process essentially has to be done over and that they get to continue in office for the time being. What I believe will happen now is that there will be a transition, and it is a transition about which I am happy, not because I support the PPP, but because I believe it is about the people's will. And then it gives the APNU-AFC the opportunity to take their overwhelming evidence to court and convince a judge by way of an election petition that the position that they had was a position that was correct. And there we have it. Down to brass tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir, how are you doing?
I've got more time, so it's going to be quick. Mm-hmm. I feel it is time that the Minister of Agriculture should let go of the chicken wings and the turkey wings, saying that the poultry producers and the pork producers ripping off the environment. As you can imagine, that they're selling chicken necks at $6 a pound. How can some person buy chicken necks at $6 a pound? That could be fair to people. And a minister holding back chicken wings and turkey wings that they can make money to help employ the people that work in there.
But sir, I thought the understanding was that the imported chicken wings, since they're already frozen, were supposed to be held back in preference to the local product, and the local product would be reduced in price significantly. That was the information that I had. That has not happened?
No, that's not happened. If you can go on Bobby's Marketplace and see chicken wings selling $16 and $17 a pack, got in 10 and 12, and the BMC got chicken wings in their core service.
But then where are the ones on Marketplace are coming from? Where then? Because they're clearly imported.
Of course, yes, they're imported. I don't know where they're coming from. Unless somebody be...
The whole thing is complicated. Look, is there a glut on the local market of chicken wings? Of chicken?
There's a glut. Chicken selling $6.15 a pound.
No, but my thing is $6 a pound. Is that a good price for chicken?
No, it's not a good price.
I spoke to a chicken producer, a small farmer, and he told me that right now he cannot get rid of the amount of breasts in his freezer.
But you know what? Why? They're selling breasts at $6 and $7 a pound.
But he's saying even if he reduced the price, he's still having challenges unloading the breasts.
But if he reduced the price, everybody's them.
No, I understand what you're saying. You see, I don't really know the thing, but my understanding was that this idea of not having the local wings, the wings on the market, was to help people get rid of the stock of all other chain of chicken, and the price was supposed to have fallen. But this has not happened.
All right,
sir, I'm just asking you, this has not happened.
Some selling 15, some selling 16, and some selling 17, but 10 or 12 in a box.
All right.
That don't make sense. That's ripping off the people when we can go out to the BMC and buy a box. Four of us can go and buy a box and get out about $5 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
The things can't be fair. My minister got to try and let go of my let everybody fight for themselves.
All right, sir. Sir, thanks a lot for calling, and I am sorry that we have to take you away, but we have Larry Mears, who is getting ready to take over this studio. In an awesome way. So we're going to have to give way to Larry. I really want to thank you for what I thought was a really good program. I appreciated the intervention, especially of the Right Excellent Anthony Gabby Carter and his contribution on the issue of Nelson. I certainly learned a lot, and I believe that it helped all of us understand where we're going with this conversation. And there were some other good calls, too, that I appreciated very much. I'm told I'm back with you on Friday, so I have the opportunity to interact with you again this week, and I'm looking forward to it. Special thanks to Michelle for the technical support, for not doing too much cutting. I look forward to her company again on Friday as well.